Hey everybody. I hope you're well. It's funny. It seems like it has been forever since I've done this, and I guess we just skipped a week for 4th of July last week. But gosh, it seems like yeah. Anyway, I asked Inner Wisdom what song to start with today, and I will put that on right now. Here we go. Well, yeah, those turn the fan on. Those Beatles were really onto something, weren't they? It's amazing the wisdom that came through their music. And I've talked about this before. I know that they went to India and studied the types of things that we study. Yeah, the world continues to be blessed by what they've done. So, and I'm grateful. The song is just amazing, and I got to tell you, it's just I just feel this joy come up in me when I hear the song. And it was interesting because I asked, "Oh, okay, I need a song." Inner Wisdom, what song should I play? And immediately this song came up. And then I started to think about it and go, well, let's see, maybe that's not. And I went, oh gosh, okay, I hear. Which is just, it's just fabulous, you know. You know, asking it will be answered. Seeking you shall find, right? So, and don't add anything. Adding anything takes away. Yeah, wow, 49 years since they broke up. Yep, we're all old, at least I am. I'll speak for myself. So it is good to be here with you guys today, and it's been, for the last 49 years, it's been an interesting ride, but it's been an interesting ride since the last time I spoke to you guys. So I'm just going to look and see what I've written here. I've got journal entries beginning on July the 2nd. And so we'll just see where they take us. So let me just read. I'll shut up and read. Shut up and read. Okay. The first one says, what would you have me see, focus on, or understand today? And the answer, you do well to keep your focus on letting go of self-will by letting go of fear. The mantra you have chosen is a good one to act as reminder not to indulge ego, thinking mind, fear. And I wrote that mantra here, I am willing to rest in God. Oh, that's that's one Regina gave us. I am willing to rest in God. You were given a glimpse of your resting state this morning. It is indeed as you remember from your youth. Nothing has changed in all this time. Many events have occurred, but the you that you are has not strayed from the knowledge of truth. As I read this, it seems like I've read it out loud before, so if I've read this to you guys before, I apologize. But I will say that years and years and years ago, I'm trying to think if it was actually before my son was born. It was around that same time. And he's 35. and you all may have heard me tell this story. I asked Jesus to teach me to meditate. And Jesus did. And it was an amazing discovery for me. And, you know, all I wanted to do all day long, every day, you know, I was a barefoot pregnant, all that good stuff. Well, may or may not have been pregnant at that time, but, you know, living in a trailer and can't afford groceries and, yeah, just the redneck drama. All I wanted to do once Jesus taught me to meditate was meditate. This is the most amazing place, someplace I never wanted to leave. And everything else, I mean, it was just absolutely dumb, blind faith, right? Which is a good thing. And everything else seemed to recede in the background and not mean anything, not, you know, God knows that in that barefoot, pregnant, redneck existence, there was plenty to worry about, like, you know, where the next meal was coming from. None of that seemed to matter, and everything just seemed light and easy. So that's what we didn't suddenly come into a bunch of money or, you know, none of that, but none of that mattered. It's this that's being referred to. It's like, you know, nothing's changed. Nothing has changed in all this time. You know, I've gone, I've traveled far and wide, but nothing's changed. Many events have occurred, but the you that you are has not strayed from the knowledge of truth. So I asked, and you know, I want to read the next thing, but it just brings tears to my eyes, and the gratitude for that. You know, I said a little facetiously a moment ago, you know, I've traveled far and wide since, but, you know, the winds of fortune, you know, college and Harvard Law School and judge and this and that, and that, you know, blah, blah, blah. Everything seemed to just like really, really change, but. You know, the vicissitudes of life, the ups, the downs, the all arounds. the knowledge that nothing has changed is just, I'm just overwhelmingly grateful for that, regardless of what seems to be occurring. So the next question that I asked, although I wasn't grateful when I wrote this, but reading it to you, I am. And so for that, I'm grateful. Thank you all for allowing me to share with you. So the next question I asked is, how can I be a servant unto the one true self? The answer, by putting yourself, lowercase s, by putting yourself and your imagined needs aside. Simply be willing to ask this question again and again until your part in the whole becomes clear. Remember that you wish to serve no matter what that looks like, no matter the effect on the character you call yourself. Be willing to step through whatever fear you find. Be willing to find fear by looking at the motivations for your actions. When you find fear, ask me what I would have you see. Where you find fear, you will find a clinging to the self-image you seek to protect. By asking to see the fear for what it is, you may choose to let go of self-image. It is your self-image that blocks your vision of the self that I am. Caps for self and I am. It is your self-image that blocks your vision of the self that I am. You need not fear. There is no harm that will ever come to the self. As for the self that you experience yourself to be, the character, you are right to remember the Rolling Stones song, "You Can't Always Get What You Want, but you get what you need." Smile. Remember also that to serve without thinking is joy. To think without serving is the source of all pain. That again is from Regina's tips. As you go about your day, remember, I am with you. You need not fear. Fear is only confusion, and you need not listen to confusion any longer. Blessings, I am with you always. Yeah, I mean, it's just clear to me as I read this now that this is just such a clear distinction. Where you find fear, you will find a clinging to the self-image you seek to protect. I mean, gosh, I know we've talked about this many times, but it just doesn't seem like it can be any clearer than this. You know, I guess when I've looked at this in the past, I've thought about, you know, as, oh, I'm someone who wants to pay their bills on time, or I'm someone who doesn't want to be a debtor in bankruptcy, or, I'll be someone of my word, or whatever, and all of that seems really superficial, really at a mind level, you know, understanding of how desperately I cling to self. But what this seems to be saying to me is, look, the truth of who you are is never at risk, regardless of the vicissitudes of life, regardless of where, if you're looking for where your next meal comes from, regardless of whether you're barefoot or, and pregnant or a Harvard-trained judge, regardless of what seems to be going on, that's not what's going on. That's not who I am. That all of that, that, none of that is at risk because it's not even true. It's just the role that I seem to be playing. What's true about me is never at risk. It's ridiculous to think that it could be. I'm the I'm the director, I'm the actor, in fact, I'm the scenery in this play, right? It's like it's all me. Risk, what the hell does that mean in that context? Oh, good, yeah. Anne writes, fear equals false self. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Who fears? What is there to fear? It's all false self. There is no harm that will ever come to the self. And then again, this next line, I gotta laugh every time I read it. As for the self that you experience yourself to be, the character, you are right to remember the Rolling Stones song, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. And then it's interesting that on the heels of that is that quote from Regina, from her tip, to serve without thinking is joy. To think without serving is the source of all pain. And this is, I mean, it's the same distinction. You know, Connie and I often talk about, it's either in column A or column B, right? But it is exactly the same distinction. To serve without thinking is joy. Joy is the truth of who I am. Who needs to take thought but for the character, right? Who takes that thought? The character. You know, you remove those things, you remove that preoccupation with, that focus on the character and the character's travails. And what are you left with? Joy. Why? Because that's the truth of who I am. So, right at this particular moment, in this here, in this now, this is very, it does feel joyful and quite amusing. So anyway, let me read you from the next day. Teach me how to become free of self-will. And the answer. The message was given this morning in meditation. When thoughts arise, simply remember that you will be given all you need to know in the moment. You need not plot your defense. What you are needs no defending. The one who plots defense is the self you no longer wish to protect. When it begins its counsel, tell it that you will wait. Tell it that you will wait. And do what needs to be done in the moment. Be vigilant. You will continue to experience anxiety if you listen to the stories of the personal self. You will let go anxiety as you turn from the imaginings of the thinking mind. Again here, nothing new, right? Just ringing true on an ever deepening level for me. And I think that's probably true because of my willingness to do what I'm being told, not unerringly, not without flaws. We'll see a couple of minutes here in this journal, but I've often heard the stories of people who quote unquote get it, who become enlightened or whatever, have their enlightening experience when they go, F it, screw it, right? I'm done, I give up. Which the world would go, oh my God, you can't give up. But which is exactly, I think, what's required of us. Just this. And that's what I've been experiencing is, again, the ups and downs. The house is going to sell. Oh, it's not going to sell. Oh, it's going to sell. Oh, it's not going to sell. Oh, the closing's on the condo. Oh, it's not going to close. Oh, it is going to close. There's enough variation. I can't keep up. And Lord knows I can't control it. And it's finally starting to get through my thick head. That I don't want to waste my energy trying to control that which cannot be controlled. That it is what it is, and it will be what it will be. I've thought several times in the past few months how, and we were talking about deep the Beatles were. Well, I think the same thing for Doris Day, right? Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. And I'm willing to see, what that is, what will be. So anyway, and just as this notes here, you will, I will, continue to experience anxiety if I listen to the stories of the personal self. The personal self, the character, whatever, the ego, whatever you want to call it, the thinking mind, has lots of solutions to all my problems, both real problems and imagined problems. It's got lots of solutions, and it's full of shit. It just is. It doesn't have any answers. There's a dawning recognition that there are no answers. There are no answers. All there is this moment, this here, this now. And what's next now? And it's interesting, Regina is training me for her position, and we're using this calendaring method where, the next task is on the calendar. And then the next one, and then the next one, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right? All through the week, it's on the calendar. And here's what I do now, and here's what I do now, and here's what I do. And what a beautiful metaphor. I'm not. I did say yesterday when we got through with some, I don't know, some task we were working on, MPP or something. I went, oh my God, I feel overwhelmed. And she said, you only feel overwhelmed because you're not focused on what needs to be done right now. After we put all this crap on the calendar, crap, excuse me, all these necessary tasks on the calendar, and did a little bit of work, and I was feeling that way. But she's absolutely right, and this is an excellent metaphor, this calendaring method. What's next on the calendar? I'm going to do this, 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 and this, right? And if there's something that I need to know, I'll know it. Or if I don't know it, then in this moment, I'll look at that and see what needs to be done, right? But it's not like, oh, I don't know, I feel like I'm kind of getting lost in the metaphor. But to try to project myself into another point in time, to try and imagine possible outcomes, good, bad, or otherwise, right? Is to live in some place that doesn't exist. And in that place, I can only live in a state of anxiety. Yeah, you don't need to think about it until it's time to think about it. Exactly. Thank you, Regina. Yeah. You don't need to think about it until it's time to think about it.
anything else necessarily produces anxiety. I can't, you know, I can't control tomorrow from today. It's just ridiculous. I can't predict what 15 people are going to do. It's going to, you know, it's ridiculous. You can see it's a setup. It's a setup for anxiety. All right. So let me read what comes next. It says, I said, is there anything else I need to know in regard to the fear that I seem to experience? And the answer, which is funny, is I can tell you nothing more than I have told you before. Which is great, right? It's like, you've asked me this question 15 times or maybe 1500 times. Let me answer it again. I can tell you nothing more than I have told you before. You indulge in it, fear. You indulge in it at your own risk. You need not continue to participate in fear. It will not protect you. It is not your friend. Thank it for its good intentions and tell it you no longer need its counsel. If you do this each time you encounter fear, it will begin to get the message and will come round less often. Just remember as often as you can, this fear need not be. Blessings to you in all you do and are. And you know, and that's it. I can't really tell you anything. We've talked about this before. Just practice it. Just quit indulging it. Just quit following the story. Say thank you, but no thank you. And opt out. Okay, and I think this has been my experience over the past week or so. I'm practicing this more and more. We're on this day. I'm getting ready to read you. Doesn't sound like that so much. And this is on, oh, this is on the 4th of July. Maybe it's that holiday thing. Boo-hoo. I'm all alone. My family's back in Kentucky having a 4th of July, blah, 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 right? Everybody's at mom's pool. Anyway, on July the 4th, I said, I am feeling lonely, homesick, a bit disillusioned. What would you share with me today? And the response, I hear your frustration. This is merely a consequence of your decision. Wait, wait, wait. Let me make sure I'm in the right place because that seems like a strange line. But so let me read it. I'm feeling lonely, homesick, a bit disillusioned. What would you share with me today? And the answer, I hear your frustration. This is merely a consequence of your decision to turn from self-will to self-will. Now, interestingly, it's little less self to true self, right? So, this is merely a consequence of your decision to turn from personal self-will to true self-will. Huh. That surprises me. That's not what I expected that to say. Let me finish reading the paragraph and see if we need to parse through that. It says, my disillusionment, homesickness, blah, 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 is merely a consequence of your decision to turn from personal self-will to true self-will. You are correct to rest in this willingness by offering this mantra, your will, not mine. You worry you are making this all up, and that if nothing changes in form, there is proof of the invalidity of truth. Let me read the paragraph. We'll look at it again. You can see that this is ego thinking. The magic program you watched last night is a good example of the ability of anything and everything to be used as proof for either the existence of truth or its non-existence. Your only job is to rest in the willingness to see. You need not be out ahead of truth. You need not prove the truth by having amazing results in your personal circumstances. You need merely rest in the assurance the truth is true. I just want to sit with this for a minute. I don't want to get caught up here, but I hear your frustration. This is merely a consequence of your decision to turn from self-will to from personal self-will to true self-will. You are correct to rest in this willingness by offering your will, not mine. It sounds to me like it's about a half turn, right? It's like, okay, your will, but it better be good. And I was beginning to look at that deeper foundational fear. What if the truth is not true? And so actually, now that I say that out loud, this is beginning to make more sense to me, because I've moved to Colorado, I've done what I'm supposed to do, and look, what have I got to show for it, right? I want to look around me and go, things aren't looking very good here, folks, so maybe there's nothing to this. Maybe I'm full of crap. Maybe I have made this whole thing up. And I'm reminded that, and I did watch an interesting magic show incorporated truth ideas and some faith healing stuff. It's called Miracle. It's on Netflix. It's an interesting show if you want to watch. It's really cool. But the point is, the reference to that is, you can use anything and go, oh, here's proof of this, here's proof of that. It's like, what are you looking to prove? Whatever you're looking to prove, you will find the proof for. You will find things in your outer circumstances that would show you that whatever you want to find, the truth is true or the truth is not true. Your only job is to rest in the willingness to see. So, I don't need to be looking for signs. I don't need to be looking for clues. Oh, you're doing great now. You need not prove the truth by having amazing, all caps, exclamation point, results in your personal circumstances. You need merely rest in the assurance the truth is true. And so I asked, well, what is the truth? And the answer is, you are. And I wrote, well, no shit. How is that helpful? And the answer, circumstances show up in any particular way because it will not affect the truth of you. Randomly, I guess that means. Circumstances show up in random ways because it will not affect the truth of you. It doesn't matter how circumstances show up. You need not complete any particular task because it will not affect the truth of you. I don't have to earn it. The truth is true, regardless of whether I recognize it, whether I see it, whether the circumstances that I'm experiencing seem to bear that out. The truth is true. And Regina says this talk is like the teaching in NTI 2 Corinthians 3. Should I look at that? Where is? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Says my teacher. Second Corinthians. Oh, I'm in Colossians. Should I look at that now for this, Regina, which I'm happy to do? Should we talk about it now? Page 311. Yes, I'll take that as a yes. So let's look at it. Ah. Well, in fact, the note here, I have in my margins of next to the title, says you can't look for proof of truth in the world and find it. Truth only comes through resting and being. So that certainly sounds the same. That's very good, Regina. You have quite a memory for this stuff. NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 3, evidence is sought within the world. You look at the world and you seek evidence that what I say is true. But if you look at the world with the thought that what I say may not be true, that is the evidence you will find. For the world was written as an experience of untruth. And so, the world can be used to prove that the untrue is true, if that is the evidence that the mind seeks. I ask you not to look at the world. I ask you to look in your heart and see what you find there. Your truth is written on your heart. And by seeking there, not in the world, you will find confirmation that all I say is true. Wow, that is so powerful. Turn around, dummy. Quit looking at the world, right? No, it's good. It's good. It's really beautiful. Your truth is written on your heart, and by seeking there, not in the world, you will find confirmation that all I say is true. For you do know the truth when you hear it. You know it because it is written on your heart. It is written on your heart because it is you. How sweet. I'm going to continue with 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, maybe I won't. Getting instructions from Regina here on the... She said I could stop, and then I said, why don't we continue? And she says, or not. Well, let's at least read it. You were taught to look at the world by a desire to know the untrue is true. This is the evidence that the world is, and this is what you learn when you look at the world and believe it as evidence. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this. Thanks, Regina. We've talked about this before. You know, it's an ancient wish. NTI has told us, of Course in Miracles has told us, right? And Connie and I were talking about this when we were reading Colossians last night. You know, what would everything be like if it was different than it is? This is it. This is the experience. So that was the proof that I was looking for. But I can't continue to point out there as my true desire, my desire to know the truth of me, is a new wish. So if I look at the evidence of the old wish, I mean, how is that helpful? And again, it says here, but now I ask you to look in a new place for evidence. I ask you to look not at the world for proof of what is true, but to look within yourself where the truth about you is known. Yeah. Hi, kitty cat. I am going to stop there. And it's just, it's just so funny because we read this stuff and just don't hear it. Because of what we've conditioned ourselves to see and hear and the proof that we're actually looking for. I mean, hell, Course in Miracles has been telling us this for years. NTI has been telling us this for years. I've been saying it for years, but it's just so funny. I'm going to skip down a little bit in this and say, by listening to, this is on 312, by listening to the heart and following its truth within the world, you become a symbol that the world is not Lord. Your symbol is a message into the mind that sings, look into the heart. And as many times as we're told that, look inside, look into the heart, you know, it just takes a while to get it. What the hell does look into my heart mean? I can tell you one thing it means for sure. Quit looking at the world as proof of anything, as meaning anything. All right, so let me just go back to this writing, this belligerent writing from July the 4th. what is the truth? You are. Well, no shit. How is that helpful? Circumstances show up in any particular way because it will not affect the truth of you. You need not complete any particular task because it will not affect the truth of you. And I say, okay, I get that. And I see myself reaching for some subtlety that makes having this understanding preferable to being in the world the way I would be without having this knowledge. In other words, why wouldn't or shouldn't I just pack up, go home, and live the rest of my days without the need to pursue truth or awakening or anything else? Why wouldn't that be better than what I am doing now? And the answer, very simply, there is no joy in that. And I screamed, there is no joy in this either. I am lonely, depressed, alone, bored, scared. Please help me. Is there anything you can share with me that will help me in this moment, or am I just making all this up? And this day's journaling ends with this phrase, there is nothing I can tell you that you don't want to hear. So apparently I was done. I was pouting on that day. Then I went and spent the afternoon with Regina, and I don't know, everything causes everything, but I'm happy to give credit where credit's due. And I can tell you that I can't think of anything specific. Well, actually I can. Regina talked about the joy that underlies everything, the causeless joy that we are. Her counsel and my willingness combined to lead to this message on the following day on July the 5th. And so let me read that to you. And I said, good morning, Spirit. I am grateful to be with you today. Thank you for opening my eyes to the truth. And the response, our gratitude is shared. It is wise for you to determine to explore what you want from the truth. This will help you keep your eye on the ball, as it were. And so, and I remember now reading that as I sat in meditation the morning of July the 5th, I said, you know what? I don't fucking care. I know it's a family program. I apologize. But, you know, that was really, that's the brunt of it. I don't care what the truth is. It doesn't matter what the truth is. Good, bad, you know, does Jacqueline Eckert fare well? Does Awakening Together fare well? Does anybody, who cares? I don't care. I just want to know the truth. Give it to me. Good, bad, ugly, otherwise. Just tell me the truth. That's all I want. Again, I'm tearing up because frankly that's quite a different spiritual aspiration than any I had experienced in the past. in the past. In the past, there's always been a subtle, what's in it for me? I mean, again, I say subtle. It's not like obvious. You know, what are you going to do for Jacqueline? But it's so subtle. But like I said a while ago, you know, I've heard these stories about people going, hell with it, I give up. And having that experience, it's no longer needing for there to be something in it for me. There's no more self-will in that. When I just go, I don't fucking care. You know, if the truth is that, you know, some other being is going to throw a fireball down on me right now and that's it, none of it ever meant anything, great. Just tell me the truth. So, I want to read you the response, and I want to read it to you before. Before this program's up. So let me. So if I'm going to read it, I better get to reading it. I said, "Good morning, Spirit. I am grateful to be with you today. Thank you for opening my eyes to the truth." And the answer, our gratitude is shared. It is wise for you to determine to explore what you want from the truth. This will help you keep your eye on the ball, as it were. Just as with a map, if you don't know your destination, you will not find your way. Of course, a destination in this sense is not the same as a place on a map. This is indeed more a treasure hunt, where the characteristics that fit with your purpose act as clues to further you along the path to me. Frankly, before reading that out loud just now, I hadn't really seen that. How the characteristics that are going to be given here really fit with the purpose. What's the purpose? To know the truth, whatever it is. To not give a damn what the answer is. Just show me the truth. So, this is indeed more a treasure hunt, where the characteristics that fit with that purpose, with your purpose, act as clues to further you along the path to me. Even if your goal is peace or happiness, for example, the nature of truth is universal. So that if peace and happiness cannot be found equally for all, or equally in all circumstances and at all times, you know that your idea of peace and happiness is distorted. That will lead you surely onward to your destination. If it's not true all the time, then it can't be the truth that I'm seeking. If it's not true for all people, in all, and that seems a little bit of, anyway, clouding of that. But if it's not true for everyone at all times, in all circumstances, no matter what's going on, then guess what? It's not truth. Even if it's good stuff. Oh, it's peace, it's happiness, yay. Another such clue is the experience of causeless joy. You think that this is the destination rather than a signpost. The truth is that if you are not experiencing joy for no reason, you are likely looking in the wrong direction. Joy is. Just as you are, as life is, as being is, joy is. Therefore, if you do not feel joy Ask me to show you joy in that moment so that you may see the path you are to take. And I can tell you that, and I've got 6 minutes here, so I'm not going to go into the details of, I had I was going to try and quantify it, a minor upset, a medium upset, major. Anyway, I had a little upset after a telephone call with Tom yesterday, and the mind just wants to go in 3 million directions. And it came to me to do exactly this, to ask to see. In fact, what I asked was, how would you have me see this? And immediately, I felt causeless joy. And it wasn't connected to, the funny thing is, it wasn't connected to the circumstances, what was going on, what he said, how I responded. Again, when I asked how would you have me see this, what I was led to was to see what was in my heart. And you know what was in my heart, regardless of the circumstance? I could feel that causeless joy. And although this says, ask me to show you joy in that moment, which I was absolutely shown, so that you may see the path you are to take, there was no further instruction. There was no need for further instruction. I didn't need to follow, to get some clues, to follow some additional steps so that then I could feel joy. Simply asking. Led me to partake of the causeless joy that I am. The truth is that if you're not experiencing joy for no reason, you're likely looking in the wrong direction. Joy is, just as you are, as life is, as being is, joy is. Therefore, if you do not feel joy, ask me to show you joy in that moment so that you may see the path you are to take. Another such signpost is trust. Not a trust that things will work out in the end. That's ego's version of trust. Rather, trust that you will see and experience and understand all that brings you joy and universality of experience. Commit to trust, and it will show you its unbroken and unbound peace. If you are not trusting in the truth, you can be sure you have lost your way. Wake up and revel in the truth of our being and know that I am with you always. Blessings on your journey. And I got a smile. And again, I mean, it's just these things are just coming in on just such a more and more subtle level. You know, I just see where there's a hook in everything, where there's been a hook in everything, and I'm like, oh, I'm devoid of self. I mean, I never claim to be devoid of self or self-will. But even in those times when I think I've been completely surrendered, I haven't been completely surrendered. There's still a hook there. There's still a what's in it for me. You know, just tell me the steps that I have to go through to get joy, and I'll do them, and then I'll be joyful, right? But no. And it's these little hooks. It's these hooks that have been continuing to keep me from seeing the truth. So, and I do see that I'm out of time, so I just want to finish with that last little thing on truth. Another such signpost, excuse me, on trust. Another such signpost is trust. Not a trust that things will work out in the end. That's ego's version of trust. Rather, trust that you will see and experience and understand all that brings you joy and universality of experience. Commit to trust, and it will show you its unbroken and unbound peace. If you are not trusting in the truth, you can be sure you have lost your way. Wake up and revel in the truth of our being, and know that I am with you always. Anyway. Okay, I love you. I love you guys, and march on, right? Truth at all costs. Thank you for allowing me to share. I love you dearly, and I'm grateful to all of you. Thank you.